your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision radio show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Fission radio show. Thank you for joining us. Jerome could not be with us today. He was unexpectedly called to work. So he called me last night and asked me if I could do his show for him. So, of course, here I am. We share the show. I think what's going to happen between the two of us is that we are going to sort of mix it up in the future, since I'm not going to be going to school for a good while now. So thank you for joining us. Please remember to tell your friends and family to follow us here at UCY.TV. They can only find us on the internet, so you have to remind people of that, that we're an internet radio station. And people can certainly go to our website when you come to listen and make a big fat contribution. It's the end of the year. Anybody that wants to make a contribution to our show, it is not a formal nonprofit, so it'll be just out of the generosity of your heart to make this station work. Having more money allows better servers, better equipment. So we definitely rely on your contributions. We know that times are tough, but even $15, $10, whatever you can give us is extremely helpful. You could make a regular ongoing contribution. So that's a plug for our station anyways. So today is, I can't believe it, December 21st, 2017. It's 8 o'clock in the morning here on the West Coast, Eugene, Oregon, and looking at NETC, Nuclear Emergency Tracking Center, it here in Eugene, it doesn't look like, I mean, the radiation's, I guess, what we consider normal, you know? There's someone that does testing near us, and we are not showing elevated rates, but I guess, you know, current rates of 17 to 25 are considered not over the charts. Although in Corvallis, it is 172 counts per minute. If you're in Denver, though, you definitely need to take cover, because you can go to NETC and just look on the map for the red and black dots, where that's where it's really high levels of gamma rays. Denver currently is showing 670 counts per minute. So just cuidado, take care of yourself. That is for sure. I thought I'd start the show today with a poem, as I'm wont to do with Lao Tzu, because we are in the throngs of, I actually believe we're on the precipice of militarized police rolling down the streets. The president's press cabinet meeting, and I'm not going to say his name, but I'm going to refer to the president, because it was a real formal cabinet meeting. I was shocked off my seats yesterday to watch him unabashedly hold a prayer meeting before a cabinet meeting. We have freedom of religion. There is specific, it's obvious this man has never read the Constitution or the Federalist Papers or the concept behind our Constitution. He is definitely an arm of the industrialized military complex, and he's bankrupting our country. We're going to see the great crash of 2019, I believe. It's not going to take very long for the whole thing to collapse. But he made a mention, and this was very troubling, and things are beginning to leak out. He said, well, you know, we didn't want to talk about Anwar being drilled, so we just kept that under our hat. We told everybody, this is why they didn't have hearings. Not a single hearing on the Kill the New Deal Act of 2017. It's not tax reform, folks. I'm a tax preparer. I'm a tax resolution specialist. This was not reform. This was a huge, big business giveaway. That's it. And it is going to hurt our industry and all of our country, but it will, you know, it's well-timed. We won't see the biggest harm until after 2018. Maybe they might be able to push it out to 2020. And then kablooey. Soon as the Democrats get elected, because people are freaking out, they see the tide turning, it's all going to come crashing down. But the cabinet meeting was a shock. Because in it, he said, well, we just didn't tell anybody about it. We told them, don't talk about it. Don't talk about it. We don't want them to know because we want to get done. See, what he's talking about is a government of outright secrecy. We're going to tell you what to do. Now, this is the interesting thing. He's actually not doing much different than what we've been having since the Nazis took over our government in World War II. And since the bankers started worming their way in at the early 1900s to destroy our democracy and our constitution. He's just, he could care less. Who knows? Who doesn't care? He doesn't care whether we know he's going to do it or not, because he's planning on the militarized police rolling down the streets pretty soon. He's going to find a reason to declare martial law. So it's going to be very interesting to see how all those people with guns are going to respond to that. But, you know, I don't know if you know this. They are actually going to start drilling in Anwar after we have fracked up the entire United States. Erica Dugan is going to be on with me Tuesday, and we're going to be talking about the drama and the horrible events that she's had to go through. She's been on here before. Her entire family has been seriously harmed by fracking. And she's now being harassed because she just wants her family to get their medicine. So they're going to be drilling the Anwar. And Anwar is going to become a worse catastrophe. I mean, it's already getting bombarded from Fukushima radioactivity. We already know that for 7 years now. So, I mean, I guess when you look at the map of nuclear contamination, like, who cares? This is why Guy McPherson, when he said the other day, you know, 2028 is he thinks all humans are going to be extinct because we're going to lose clean water and we're going to have an environment that will not grow food. I don't know. At first, it kind of shocked me. Like I said during his interview, I was really mad when I first heard from him. And in that meeting yesterday, he also mentioned the secrecy. You know, they killed Obamacare. They're going to kill Obamacare. And actually, they didn't kill Obamacare. They just killed the mandate, which means the government is not going to be helping out with people's insurance. That's the hidden thing. And the insurance rates are just going to go off the charts. Although, as many of you know, I'm an insurance protester, have been for 30 years. There's two things I like to stay away from. That's cops and the AMA. Because I call them the American Murder Association. So, I mean, if we would release the medical industry and allow doctors to actually learn how to heal, we probably wouldn't need Obamacare. The news came out this morning that in America, our life expectation went down for a second year in a row. And this is where we're at with the age of fission. We're just going to have to get used to it. Because it's happening, because these greedy rats are not going to let go of our throats unless we wrangle our way out of it. And that is only through good health, positive attitude, and a determination to live with urgency. Just live your life. Happiness really is resistance. For real. Love really is greater than fear. For real. Because these guys plan on, you know, down the militarized police, it doesn't mean that our lives are over. It means we have to live with urgency. And frankly, in our country, if we, you know, democracy is fragile. If we want our democracy, we're going to have to stand up for it. Vote, even though you think it's not going to work. If you don't like any of the candidates, run for office. Get engaged. Figure out a way to stomach it. Because democracy is fragile. I mean, there are certain types of governments that are out there that formulate in human culture. And the bottom line is the reason that the UN was formed is because of anarchy. Because after you develop sovereignty in your own country boundaries, after that, you know, sovereignty, as we've learned in school, is the ability to use force within your own borders. So sovereignty means you can torture your own people. That gives you the right. That's that you can freely exercise the right of force within your own borders. But outside of your own borders, there's really anarchy. People can do pretty much what they want, and they do, which is why the United Nations was formed. And that's an interesting way to... Right now, I don't know if you guys follow it, but I actually do follow the United Nations on YouTube. Frankly, they're freaked out about Traitor Trump. Honestly, the world is very close to going to war, very close to a nuclear, outright nuclear war because of him, because he has no regard for human life, no regard for the economies, no regard for anything. In fact, he's bankrupted his own business and he plans on bankrupting ours. And as you guys have known, I think that's part of the CIA's plan. The whole militarized thing, they're going to slam it down under Traitor Trump. So I thought I'd read this really awesome poem by Lao Tzu from the book called The Way of Life, translated by Witter Bynner. Now remember, Lao Tzu, this is the story of Lao Tzu, immaculately conceived to a shooting star, carried in his mother's womb for 62 years, and born, it is said, white-haired in 604 BC, he became in due time keeper of imperial archives at Luoyang, an ancient capital of what is now the Chinese province of Honan. 62 years pregnancy, man, that's a long time. I don't know. I wonder how old she was when she died. I wonder if the birth killed her. These are questions that I think of as a woman. Anyways, let's read this. This is number 29. It's pretty awesome. For those who would take over the earth and shape it to their will, let me start over. Those who would take over the earth and shape it to their will never, I notice, succeed. The earth is like a vessel, so sacred that at the mere approach of the profane, it is marred. And when they reach out their fingers, it is gone. For a time in the world, some force themselves ahead, and some are left behind. For a time in the world, some make a great noise, and some are held silent. For a time in the world, some are puffed fat, and some are kept hungry. For a time in the world, some push aboard, and some are tipped out. At no time in the world will a man who is sane overreach himself, overspend himself, overrate himself. Pretty much speaks to the day, doesn't it, folks? By the way, since I'm just going to be reading some stories and talking to you about things that are on my mind, if you guys want to give me a call, anybody's welcome to call in. The number is 718-717-8106. If you know me through Skype, the Skype number is Lonnie.Clark7. So I'm just going to forge ahead and read to you as usual when I do these impromptu shows some of the nuclear news. Well, let me go to this NETC map because this is actually a shock, right? There are some places in our country right now that have Denver is very, very, very high, 709, as I mentioned. And then there is also Birmingham, Alabama. Current rate is 252 gamma rays. The high was 269. That's pretty high. And all along, I mean, let's just be clear. Anywhere there's a nuclear plant, a nuclear facility, the levels of radioactivity are pretty high. I mean, there's tons of dots on the map, you know, all around the country. North Carolina, Atlanta, Georgia. I mean, this has been my come to Jesus moment. This is why when Guy McPherson started talking about we don't have 50 years to live, right? That was what he was saying a couple years ago. We don't have 50, we don't have 100 years to live. And then it became 50, and now yesterday or the day before he's like, we don't have 20 years to live. I'm like, wow, man, that's pretty intense. So I guess I'm not going to live to be 140 if that's the truth. I always thought I was going to be 140 when I was a kid. So we'll see what happens, eh? But I actually think if we have a chance of having our species thrive, it's going to be because we choose we want to live. We're going to choose. And I guess that's cornucopian thinking, right? We're believing that the glass is always half full and that humans will somehow find a solution. So I'm going to read to you, today is December 21st, the current event notification report from the NRC. Watts Bar Power Reactor in Tennessee. This happened on 2020 at 10:40 EST. Last night. System actuation due to opening of feeder breaker on shutter board. Restoration of normal offsite power to the thing was completed at 1654, so I guess they fixed it. Other than several common technical specifications that have not been met, Unit 2 is not operationally impacted by the transfer of the shutdown board to onsite power and remains in Mode 1 at a 100% power. So bottom line is they're operating at 100% power on two legs instead of four right now. Cooper Nuclear Power Plant in Nebraska, again at 100% operational service. But this one is actually really a big concern. Emergency alert system out of service. So anybody east of there or in Nebraska, does that make you feel good? During review of the documentation for the 1116 outage of the NOAA NWS, it's called National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration National Weather Service Tower, it was identified that there was no record, that there was also a record of a trouble ticket being issued on 1119 for the NOAA National Weather Service Tower. Further discussions with the National Weather Service determined that the tower did experience an outage on 1119, which affected the ability to activate the emergency alert system tone alert radios. Final determination that the tone alert radios were affected during the outage was made at 1559, which was at that time the National Weather Service sent an email to the emergency planning manager and the offsite coordinator with a notification that the alert radios were affected during the outage. This is considered a major loss of public prompt notification capability and a report under 10 CFR 50.72B38. The transmission outage was on 1119 until 11 a.m., but Cooper Nuclear Station was not notified until 1559 on 1220. So, as we already know, we are not going to be told if they have a nuclear emergency. So, if you live near a nuclear power plant, you will not see it, you will not feel it, you will not, may not hear it, because these emergency systems may not be working. I don't know. I don't know how people can live, you know, although I did. I lived very close to San Onofre most of my life. And as I've told you many times, I actually really thought it was an observatory, 100%. And I think that's why I have these like come to Jesus moments, like my Scooby-Doo moments where I'm like, what? My outrage was just, off the charts. And I think that's why Kevin Blanch has a huge following. I think he's got like 11,000 people on YouTube now. Because people are like waking up. They're like getting to be aware that like stuff is not what we're being told. And he has maintained his anger. He's still spewing and doing F-bombs every chance he gets. I'm sure every single day, actually. He puts up several videos a day. So, the thing is, when you're really frustrated and you feel like you have no power, it's easy to stay in anger. But you know what? It's the easy stuff is often destructive. It's much harder to live with integrity. It's a much difficult. It makes life. This is why Trader Trump can do what he does, because he's a lazy slob, uneducated, lazy slob who like didn't even read his own strategic planning report, which was 50 pages. He did not read it. And yesterday he tells us that we are going to be drilling in Anwar, and they didn't tell us about it. And they're canceling Obamacare. And by the way, if they didn't take it out, there was a provision to cut back Roe v. Wade. And what else is in this thing that we haven't heard about? We'll find out. So... a bit shocking, but it's the way it is, folks. Welcome to the world, which is why I asked Guy McPherson to come back next month. He'll be back with us on the 22nd, because I really want to drum in this idea that because things are grim does not mean we have to give up living and we have to decide like it's not worth it. Right action always matters, and we have the life we have until we don't have it. You know, and that's just the way it is. And there's not much we can do about it. We are finite beings. I think our culture really undervalues death, as a matter of fact. I said that in a political science class, and oh my gosh, these young people were like, their eyes raised up. They're like, yeah, well, my grandma doesn't feel like that. I'm like, how do you know? She sits in a nursing home all day long. She can barely stand. How do you know she really would prefer to die? Well, I want her around. And I said, well, exactly. That's the point, isn't it? You want her around. We had to move on. The teacher made me move on. But I certainly raised eyebrows in that class. So I have to say this last term was a shock when my international relations teacher announced to the class, the CIA is the good guys. And she also told us that nuclear war keeps us safe. And in fact, we read several articles to that effect. There was a guy named Danny Roddick. He writes, he's a pretty well-known political scientist right now that does a lot of writing. And he wrote this whole article about how nuclear war keeps us safe. Or maybe it's Kingelberger, I think. Maybe it was him too. There's a whole theme of people that they believe that if everybody if everybody has nuclear weapons, then nobody will start a nuclear war because everyone realizes how dangerous it is, which is a preposterous idea because it leaves out the crazy factor, because crazy people have no concept of what matters to people. So I don't know if people have ever read the Federalist Papers, but, you know, it was a good guidestone for our country. And I would strongly suggest that people go to the library. In fact, libraries are on the attack. So strongly go to your libraries and start checking out books from your library so that we can have that conversation. Enough people will be engaged with the library. We're getting to the point where, you know, like in 1984, the book burnings, right? I mean, because people say, well, we don't really need books anymore because we have the internet. Well, what's going to happen when the internet goes bye-bye? Which it will, folks. I mean, it's not going to really go bye-bye, but it's going to be limited. We are going to be limited on the internet. So if you don't have things in paper in your house, you're not going to be able to feed your brain. So, man, I guess I'm doom and happy face this morning, huh? So the phone number is 541. No, that's my phone number. That's ridiculous. The phone number is 718-717-8106 if you want to give me a call. And I'm going to keep going. And this is the interesting thing, too. You know how they always say that Google doesn't tell you anything? Well, I just put in, like, an alert on Google to show me what the nuclear industry is up to. And I always pull up these really great articles on... They do actually tell you if you look. That is the issue. They do tell you if you look. So start looking so you can protect yourself and arm yourself with information. Because there is a lot of misinformation, a lot of exaggerated information, and and a lot of just like this first article, troubled 25 billion nuclear project gets okay to continue. Why would it get okay to continue? Whose idea is that? So this is the thing. The whole nuclear industry is like Trader Trump. They don't care what is real. They're just going to barrel down. We are really literally chopping off our own arms. We're eating off our own arms. And it is just such an outrage. I mean... Let me go to nuclear. Nuclearnews.net and see what they're reporting, because Sean McGee keeps this website up, and Christina McPherson, who I hopefully I'll be able to wrangle an interview with her. Christina McPherson, no relation to Guy McPherson, is one of the powerhouses behind nuclearnews.net. She's lives, I believe, in Australia, and a grandmother, elderly. So we've had some, I don't know, time frame connections. But hopefully now that I'm out of school, I'll be able to get a good interview with her, because she is the powerhouse behind nuclearnews.net on a lot of things. And she goes through and reads articles and posts them up on nuclearnews.net. And really, this is her leading story today, says, nuclear power industry exists to provide nuclear weapons industry, theme for December 17th. Yes, they're joined at the hip and is now becoming public news. The World Nuclear News spells it out proudly, quote, a robust U.S. nuclear energy sector is, quote, a key enabler of national security, unquote, helping the U.S. military to meet specific defense priorities. Wow. In Britain, this is revealed in the BEIS committee Brexit inquiry. The fact that the nuclear power industry supplies essential resources and personnel to the nuclear weapons industry explains why governments are so keen to subsidize this completely uneconomic method of providing electricity. Of course, the fat cats and shareholders behind both industries are happy to sell nuclear anything to anybody. We see Russia especially doing financial lending acrobats to sell both industries to dodgy Middle Eastern and African dictatorships. But the wonderful Western democracies are not far behind, happy to sell, quote, peaceful, unquote, nuclear power to India, for example, a country intent on nuclear weapons expansion. The nuclear weapons lobby knows damn well that the first step and selling a country is to sell it, to sell uncommercial nuclear power. It's on in parentheses. I like her. I can't wait to get her on. She's actually quite a woman to be able to have the diligence to do this. So I'm going to pull up those two reports that she says. And there's three things where she's highlighted in this. Here we go. World Nuclear News. U.S. needs robust nuclear industry for security. This is written August 18th, 2017. a Washington, D.C.-based organization led by former U.S. Energy Secretary Ernest Moniz, has called for a greater federal level recognition of the importance of the USA's nuclear energy supply chain to national security. In its first major report, Energy Future Initiatives recommends the immediate government action to support and encourage existing and future new build projects and strengthen the supply chain. Hence, today's news, right? That popped up on the Googles. Let me see where I can get that story that we just read. It was unbelievable. Here we go. That was unbelievable. There we are. I had it way over there. Troubled $25 billion. We're not talking million, folks. We're talking $25 billion nuclear project gets okay to continue. Nuclear regulatory downplay safety warnings, December 20th, 2017. Ratepayers win victory to recover money from failed SCE&NG nuclear project. That's probably out in, well, we'll see. I'll read this. Let's get back to this little story. Back to her story on the U.S. needs robust nuclear industry for security. The EFI report, the U.S. nuclear energy enterprise, a key national security enabler, examines the role of nuclear energy enterprises play in meeting national security imperatives. We have an imperative, as well as their contribution to supplying electricity and maintaining a, quote, robust, unquote, associated supply chain. We have an imperative to have nuclear weapons. News to us. These, the reports say, are intimately connected with U.S. leadership and global nuclear nonproliferation policy and norms and with the nation's nuclear security capabilities. What the heck does that mean? The U.S. leadership in global nuclear nonproliferation policy and norms. Well, in the first place, Trader Trump is breaking every norm he can, and he is destroying our role as a leader in the world completely. And when he planned, you know, this is when the militarized police, he also gave a hint about what he's going to do with the United Nations. You know, the United Nations was created to stop the anarchy of governments. We have these states, every country, and they basically become anarchic when they realize there's nobody over them. They can do whatever they want. So the world after World War II created the United Nations. And it has allowed for, you know, there's some benefit, although the United States and has pretty well kept its thumb on its ability to really work well, but it does have a function. And Trader Trump is hinting very loudly, very clearly that he plans on withdrawing us from the United Nations. And when that happens, the world is going to, we're going to be lined up like the world was against Germany. And that's when things are going to get quite ugly for our country. People think that the war is not going to come to us. Karma is real, folks. And we cannot ignore this. I'm going to go back to this story. The report identifies three externalities as drivers for public sector support for nuclear energy: mitigating climate change risk, managing managing energy supply risk by maintaining fuel diversity, and contributing to national security. Nuclear energy contributes to the USA's national security through connections with the country's leadership in global nuclear nonproliferation policy and its nuclear security capabilities. Climate change risk mitigation and fuel diversity are beginning to be taken into account at the state level, but the role of the nuclear energy sector in meeting national security imperatives is, quote, inherently federal in nature, unquote, and is not addressed by state-level policies, the report says. As such, the fundamental role for a robust nuclear energy sector in meeting national security imperatives in reality must be addressed by the federal government, meaning the military. This is all about the military. This is all murder, death, kill, folks. A robust U.S. nuclear energy sector is a key enabler of national security, helping the U.S. military to meet specific defense priorities and supporting the implementation of U.S. nonproliferation policy, the report says. The sector is underpinned by a generation from existing and new nuclear power plants and their associated supply chain. But these are under considerable stress, it says. A strong domestic nuclear energy industry is seen as necessary for the country to maintain its overseas role, where it has been a leader in setting the global standard for nuclear fuel cycle development consistent with nuclear nonproliferation objectives. This just makes me want to spit, just like when I was sitting in the class and my professor said, nuclear weapons keep us safe. This is upside down thinking, man. This talk about 1984, Big Brother. The report notes the USA's failure to agree to bilateral nuclear energy agreements with countries including Egypt, Jordan, and Saudi Arabia, all of which have signed agreements concerning reactor construction and nuclear fuel supply with Russia. It also notes that the United Arab Emirates, with which the USA has a bilateral agreement, chose South Korea as the developer of its first nuclear reactors. Not us. A strong domestic nuclear enterprise will be necessary to protect and advance U.S. national security equities as nuclear fuel cycles develop internationally in regions that historically have had little or no nuclear energy. Nuclear energy is what's going to drive us into war, folks. That is my very strong feeling. A strong domestic nuclear enterprise will be necessary to protect and advance U.S. national security equities as nuclear fuel cycles develop internationally in regions that have historically had little or no nuclear energy. You get that? I had to read that again. The double talk here. At the national level, the U.S. Naval Nuclear Propulsion Program also relies on robust nuclear supply, on a robust domestic supply chain, the report says. The U.S. Navy will eventually need an additional high-enriched uranium fuel for its reactors. The entire supply chain for which must be of U.S. origin because of the national security aspects for the sensitivity of HEU production, the report says. There is currently no such domestic capability in the supply chain, it adds. That's why they're open up big ears so we can get the uranium. A domestic supply of enriched uranium is also needed to ensure supplies for tritium for military purposes. But the absence of an enrichment facility using U.S. origin technology means this cannot be met in the long term. This is a glaring hole in the domestic nuclear supply chain, since the only enrichment facility in the United States today uses Urenco, which is European technology, to supply power reactor fuel, the report says. The domestic nuclear supply chain has in the past been sustained by the USA's large deployment of civilian nuclear fleet, but a dramatic reduction in nuclear construction in the late 70s until construction began on four reactors in 2013 by whom? Obama, because he was supported by the nuclear industry, began on four reactors in 2013, has taken its toll, according to the report. The future of the reactors under construction is now uncertain following Westinghouse bankruptcy filing, and the risk of an early retirement existing capacity will also impact the supply chain. Not really, folks. That was August. We've now got Trader Trump in the White House. The military has taken over completely all these decisions. This is why that news of, what'd they say? Trouble $25 billion reactor project gets okayed. So don't worry. It's actually no problem, right? Let me find that story again. There we are. I'm spitting nails, man. This really, honestly, talk about get me going first thing in the morning. Without a strong nuclear energy program, which is by far the largest nuclear activity in the USA, sustaining the supply chain for both civilian and national security objectives will be challenging, the report says. More than 700 companies in 44 states provide products or services in direct support of the U.S. nuclear energy industry, and there are synergies between the supply chains for the naval and civil sectors, with all of the companies involved in the naval supply chain also supplying the civil sector. However, many key components are no longer supplied domestically or have limited fabrication capability. These include reactor pressure vessels, steam generators, pressurizers, main condensers and turbine generators, specialized valves, and passive residual heat removal. And also the canisters, they're not made here. Holtec is not an American company. Human resources are likely to be, I think that's incorrect, actually. Human resources are likely to be affected by a weakening nuclear enterprise, with university courses in nuclear engineering and related disciplines likely to constrict, and with U.S. citizens less likely to pursue careers in nuclear technology. Okay, here we go. Federal actions. Just a few more paragraphs. I think we'll get through it. To address these concerns, the report recommends the U.S. government direct the Federal Energy Regulation Commission to, quote, place a greater emphasis on national security importance of nuclear power and its associated supply chain. The government should make the maximum flexible use of existing resources and capabilities, such as credit support and tax incentives, which they did big time, to bolster support for future and current new builds. It is necessary, if necessary, taking legislative action to extend the availability of current programs, which we just saw. It just got approved, right? A $25 billion ailing reactor. Its suggestions also include working to harmonize federal and state electricity market policies to value nuclear's attributes appropriately, and establishing a broad-based consortium of nuclear supply chain companies, a broad-based consortium of nuclear supply chain companies, generating companies, financial institutions, and other appropriate entities to share the risk and benefits of further new build projects at home and internationally. Nuclear Energy Institute Vice President Dan Lipman, I actually hope there is a hell, said the report provided another strong voice to the growing choir of statesmen and experts who recognize the strategic value of retaining a strong U.S. nuclear energy industry. Bomb, 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 Iran. Nuclear energy supports our national security, energy security, environmental goals, really? U.S. investment in this critical sector is vital. The call to action in this report contains a valuable recommendation as policymakers should consider this important issue. EFI is a not-for-profit organization which aims to drive innovation in energy technology. That's actually not true. Nuclear Energy Institute is not about innovation in energy technology. It's innovation in nuclear energy technology. Policy and business models, providing policymakers, industry executives, NGOs, and other leaders, options on how to advance a cleaner, safer, more affordable, and secure energy future. The organization, led by Moniz with principals Melanie Kenderline and Joseph Heiser, was launched in June. Moniz served as the U.S. Secretary of Energy in the Obama administration from 2013 to 2017. See, 13? This is why this plan started in 2013. This is the real mental illness. These people actually think that nuclear keeps us safer. They are ignoring the fact that nuclear scientists cannot test for radioactivity. They're ignoring the fact that nuclear does nothing but harm every single person it touches. It's so outrageous. We are now expected to believe that nuclear power is just perfectly safe. Perfectly safe. I don't know how they live with themselves, to be honest. I mean, is the United States just going to declare itself a non-democracy and, you know, a militarized police state? I think that's where we're headed. It's going to come out in the open, you know. We have about 15 minutes left. The phone number is 718-717-8106 if anybody wants to give me a call. Otherwise, I'm going to keep reading. And I'm going to read. I could actually talk about this because actually I got lots of opinions on it, but I think you'd prefer to hear something else. Armed Madhouse by Greg Palast is an actually excellent book if any of you have not read it. He is the author of The Best Democracy Money Can Buy. The subtitle is From Baghdad to New Orleans, Sordid Secrets and Strange Tales of a White House Gone Wild. This was written during the Shrub, you know, Bush's tenure, right? And this is an interesting article that I had tucked away. I thought I'd pull it out and pick through the article. I had it tucked away in this book at the time when I read this. I went to go see Greg Palast speak here at the University of Oregon. Man, I think it was, what date? Must have been a while back, 2000, and when this book got published. Let me take a look. Hold on. And it is actually not just frightening, but it really speaks to what really happened and why we're in the mess that we're in. 2007, I guess that's when it was. And this is called The Cheney Imperative, and we are still living the Cheney Imperative. The post-9/11 surveillance and interrogation programs that the vice president helped implement are a major reason that there have been no further attacks. This is what this guy says, Stephen F. Hayes. These are opinion pages from the Wall Street Journal. It's a huge full-page ad about why we need to start torturing people. When America did not stand up to the Bush-Cheney regime, when they lied to our faces, when they attacked our country with the 9/11 attack, that's when they knew that they could implement their plans. That's when they knew. I mean, getting people to say, well, government doesn't work. There's no reason to have a government. Well, people form governments, folks. We're either going to have a democracy or totalitarian government. I mean, there's only a handful of types of governments that ever formulate in human society. You have socialist, what do they call, social democracies, where, you know, people, everybody participates, but it's kind of everybody's equally treated. In our country, we have a liberal democracy where we allow people to get super rich and super poor. But we still elect people. Or you have these authoritarian regimes and dictatorships. A dictatorship is run by one person. Authoritarian regimes are run by the military. So take your pick. That's where we're at. If people don't lean into our democracy, we are going to rapidly slip into an authoritarian regime, if we have not already. Because people did not stand up. Greg Palast has been out there jumping up and down talking about our elections and about how they are literally regularly scrubbing the voter rolls because people don't stand up. They don't take a stand. More people than not do not vote. They're like, well, screw it. It doesn't matter. I hate the way the government works. Well, the government's going to work unless we're just not going to have a country, unless we're going to run into, like, the bottom line is we don't have a choice on this because we have a military that is out of massive control. When we say it's out of control, it's beyond out of control. I mean, it is psychopathic and sociopathic. It's out there murdering. We heard this morning that we actually, oh, by the way, another one of those things that Trader Trump is not talking to us about, is guess what? We have a lot of people in Yemen, and we're doing lots of bombing in Yemen. We've done lots and lots of bombing on a regular basis, and that's a place that we don't even know where it is on the map, most Americans. And why are we doing it? Because it's at the Gulf. It's right at the mouth of a very strategic place on the planet. And whoever runs that area runs the whole oil industry. And that's why we're there. It has nothing to do with the people there. They're saying, well, you know, they're involved. We're trying to stop ISIS. Well, I don't know what you think, but I think ISIS is actually funded by the United States military. Because we need murder, death, kill. That's our industry. That's what this country does, murder, death, kill. You know, when I first got involved in this, and in fact for the last 2 years, I've been attempting to get some Native American people on this show to interview with me about the uranium industry that's outrageous. Look what Trader Trump just did, opened up big ears to uranium mining and piping. I mean, that's what they're going to do. They're going to be putting pipelines all the way, oil pipelines and uranium mining. And where is it? Right on Native American lands. And are those are supposedly sovereign nations, but they're not. They're not sovereign. Sovereignty means you get to control the use of military, it's the legal use of force within your own borders. So if someone else can come into your borders and start using force against you like they did at Standing Rock on Native American lands, you're not a sovereign anything. So, you know, and as Dane Wiginton talks about all the time, geoengineering, those guys are up there bombing us with God knows what. But what we do know is this, the negative effects. The life expectancy rate in the United States declined for the second year in a row. So we have a system. We have completely destroyed our system, which is what Guy McPherson was talking about yesterday. We have destroyed our waters. We have destroyed our food supplies with GMOs. We don't even know what's GMO in this country. We actually have to pay extra money just to get food that doesn't have chemicals on it. And this is another outrageous thing. This is why I really need to take a break from school. I had my political science teacher, Jane Kramer, tell us that subsistence living, going back to small farming and going back to living locally, won't work because we need big systems. We need everybody in the cities, which is so outrageous that people actually believe that nuclear power keeps us safe and that having small subsistence living is ineffective. We actually haven't ever really tried it. We shove people off the farms to go into the factories to make a few people fat and rich. It is an outrage that we have demeaned humanity and our planet Earth to the point where they don't believe that they can actually live on the Earth without compromising every system in their body. I mean, for them, it's a win-win situation. They destroy our food supply. Then we have to pay, then we get sick, and we have to pay for their medical insurance. And then we have to buy their medicines. And then we have to, all the whole while, paying for the health insurance. And then when we get sick, I mean, dying costs you $13,000 to $15,000 at a bare minimum. Just to be buried and cremated, it's going to cost you a couple grand. I mean, it's big business. There is, it's all for profit. They literally do treat us all like assets on a balance sheet, which is why the culture is eating itself alive. I'm going to read another poem, folks, because guess what? I can. The five colors can blind, the five tones deafen, the five tastes cloy. The race, the hunt, can drive men mad, and their booty leave them no peace. Therefore, a sensible man prefers the inner to the outer eye. He has his yes, he has his no. I love that poem because we have to have our no. And we're coming to the point where we have to have our no. I don't know about you, but I'm taking to the streets on January 20th. That is Impeach Trump Day. And there are going to be people out massively in the streets on January 20th. Will it make a difference? Will they impeach Trump? I don't think so. But I'm not going to sit by idly and, you know, not demand it. And that's if we make it to January 20th without him starting a nuclear war, because you know how the overlords love to make people miserable at Christmas. We're only a few days away from Christmas. And I mean, I guess they did do their misery act with the Kill the New Deal Act, passing this Kill the New Deal Act of 2017. I mean, they're going to be opening up Anwar for drilling. They're killing Obamacare, which I frankly was never in favor of. I think we need to have single payer. The solution to a lot of our democracy is free education and free health care. And I don't believe we need to have, and that's the other thing, they're going to start going after Medicare and entitlements. Entitlements. So you're not entitled to a decent life. You have to earn it. And if you don't earn it, you get to die in the streets like an abandoned dog. And that's your fate. Because you're not born rich. And that's your fate too. I don't get it. I don't get the lack of humanity. I read an article this last week that basically said that the problem with humans is it's not a dog-eat-dog world. It's just that's our. It's worse than what we think. People don't murder each other because they're sociopaths. They just murder them because they can, because they want to dominate them, period. You know, I've been watching these videos about the slave trade in the United States and how Americans treated the slaves that came here. You know, most Americans have forgotten that it was a white person's duty to turn in a runaway slave and actually beat them. People, and they were expected to go out and murder, death, kill, period. The degradation that they treated black people with, the slaves, was beyond comprehension. And we wonder why we have institutional racism. That has not been forgotten in people's DNA or in their history. And they wonder why black people don't trust white people, for real. My own nephew, he's half black, half white. And we talk about this all the time. He gives me lip service all the time. I have to call him on it all the time. He talks to me one way. He talks to his black family another way. Like, really, just get over it. But it's not that easy to just get over. It's like telling a person who's been abused as a child to just get over it, which I can speak to because I was abused. And I'm 62 years old and still healing. You can't just get over it. It doesn't work that way. But we can keep our optimism up. We can love ourselves, everyday work on looking in the mirror and saying, you know what? I love you. And I'm really grateful that I'm spending my life with you. And happiness is resistance, folks. That's our goal. This is why I like to have people, I talk to people about emotional freedom technique, EFT. Go to YouTube, find some videos. If you can't sleep, if you have insomnia, if you have depression, type in EFT depression. Got 10 seconds left. Put your courage feet on, you guys. Take action. I don't know how long we have left on this planet. That's up in the air, but it does matter what we do. We'll talk to you guys on Monday.